Okay, let's jump into our message. I saw this sculpture and it really touched me because I think this sculpture captures where so many people are at. Two people, back to back, obviously discouraged, disheartened, because somehow they're not able to communicate. Yet on the inside there is this longing for connection, this longing to know and to be known. All of us have that. All of us long for somebody greater than ourselves, and only God can satisfy that. But even when we have that connection fulfilled, there is also on the inside this longing for connection with others. God put it there because God wants us to be in a body. He wants us to be in relationship. So we've been talking about some of the barriers that we have to communication. And I think they are important things to talk about. This is the nitty-gritty of life. If you read through the writings of Paul, you'll find that the first half of the book that he wrote, or it's actually a letter, but we call it a book, it's all about our identity, all about who we are in God. But then the second half, he starts to get very practical. He starts to talk to husbands and wives. He starts to talk to children. He talks about our attitudes towards our employers. He goes into very specific details. And I believe God wants us to be able to do that, to know who we are before him, but also know how to live before one another and not to wound one another. So last time we looked at the scripture in James 1, verse 19 and 20. My dearest brothers and sisters, take this to heart. Be quick to listen, but slow to speak, and be slow to become angry, for human anger is never a legitimate tool to promote God's righteous purpose. That's a Passion Translation, and I believe it puts it really well. And I want to highlight some key things in there. Number one, take this to heart. In other words, this is important. I don't want you to miss this. It says, be quick to listen. Oh, if we could just learn that one. How relationships would improve if we started with listening. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And it goes on to say that, you know, our anger, our emotion, our upset, our striving, our passion, our pushing, it's not going to accomplish the purpose of God. And God wants us to hit our destiny, fulfill our purpose, because he made us for purpose. But if we don't get these things happening in our life, we will have a hard job hitting the destiny that God has for us. See, I don't know about you, but I've met many people who have an amazing destiny and you can see it on their lives, but their marriages are a mess. Their kids don't even want to know God. Folks, that's a tragedy. It shouldn't be that way. So I believe God wants to address some things and talk about that. First one, let's touch on the fact that it's not wrong to have emotion. Anger is actually an indicator that something is wrong. And it says here in Ephesians 4, be angry and do not sin. It's okay to feel things. And sometimes as believers, we think that we have to shut our emotions down. Oh, I shouldn't feel a thing. No, your emotions will tell you when something is wrong. but how you handle those emotions is important. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. It's amazing how many people let an offense go on and on and on and on. They're upset about something, but they never ever talk about it. Bible says, don't do that. Why? Because the enemy takes advantage of that very situation. Handling our emotions is so important. Galatians 5:15 puts it this way. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. The Passion Translation talks about the fact if you're always critical and always repeating subjects and bringing matters up, you become like angry beasts, tearing each other apart. Our homes are meant to be havens, not places of quarrelling, dissension, upset, bitterness. They're not a place that our kids are meant to be trying to escape. James, his book is actually called The Proverbs of the New Testament. In James 3, it talks about the fact that out of our mouth can come blessing and cursing. Cursing other people made in the likeness of God. And it says, brethren, these things ought not to be so. It shouldn't be this way. And don't know about you, but I've had an argument with Ray coming to church and then tried to stand and worship God. Boy, it's hard. I can tell I'm not the only one. If we don't have our relationships right with one another, it's hard to have your relationship right with God. In fact, he says in Matthew, if you come and you're worshipping me and you're bringing a gift, whether it's a gift of praise, your tithes and offering, your service, whatever, and you remember somebody's got something against you, leave your gift, go and get it sorted out. Yeah, God says I'm first, and we understand that. But in that situation, he says, I'm second. That's how much he cares about our heart, our relationships, and how we are talking and relating to one another. I think he takes it seriously. In fact, I know that he does, because in Matthew 12, Jesus said, you will give an account for every idle word. I don't know about you, but that kind of puts the fear of God in me. Like every idle word, Lord, there's been quite a few. That's how seriously he takes our words. And yeah, this is not a message you're going to jump up and down. I'm not going to hear very many amens. But I believe that God loves us. He wants our relationships to be sweet. And it starts here, folks. See, in Matthew 12, it also says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, what's in our heart will come out of our mouth. You can push it down, you can shove it down. I don't know about you, but I've found that there's been things, oh, it's nothing, it's just small. And I've pushed it down, tried to ignore it, and then later in conversation with that person, it's come up. Well, remember the time when da-da-da-da happened. It's like, oh, I thought it was just something I could push down and it would go away. No, an attitude is never happy until it's expressed. Yep, as I said, This is not going to be a message that everyone's going to go, yes, yes, preach it, love it, love it. No, that's all right. The reality is, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Many of us have been like that little kid, choked up, pushed down, hindered, wounded by words. Maybe it was a parent, maybe it was a child in the playground, unkind thoughts, maybe it was an abusive father. We live in a world full of wounded people. Why? Because the chant that sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It's an absolute lie from the pit of hell. It's people well advanced in years that still remember the cut of those words, still carry those wounds. And the trouble is that wounded people wound people. They grow up, and because they haven't been able to deal with their own heart and their own hurt, they pour out that upon others. Folks, if I'm talking to you this morning, deal with the heart. Deal with the issues that are there. Oh, I love Isaiah 61, where it speaks about, you know, the anointing of the Lord, that it sets captives free. It gives us beauty for ashes. You may feel like your past is little more than ashes. God wants to give you beauty, but he wants to go even further than that. Because when you come down to verse 4, it says, and they will rebuild the ruins, the desolation of generations. Folks, it's been generations where there's been abuse after abuse after abuse after abuse. And if you've come from that background, I've got wonderful news for you. God wants to make you a repairer and a restorer. But it will mean dealing with the things that are in your own heart first. It will mean taking those wounds to the Lord. It will mean forgiving those that have hurt you. Why? So that you become empowered to release others. So you can't do anything about your past, but you can choose your legacy. What will you pass on to your children and your children's children? Death or life? We choose. It's a powerful choice. I love this scripture in Proverbs 22. It's a lovely promise. He who loves purity of heart and has grace on his lips, the king will be his friend. The Lord's looking for people who will have grace and healing and wholeness and peace on their lips, that they can sow life into other people. If you're in the midst of a dysfunctional family, I've got news for you. God wants to use you to bring grace and peace and to speak healing and to speak words that bring life. You see it just as you see somebody wilt under words of death. You see people come alive when you start to speak hope, when you start to speak promise, when you start to speak who they can be. You will see people come to life. I believe it's Isaiah that talks about a word fitly spoken, how good it is. There's something very powerful and very fulfilling about speaking into the life of somebody, and you speak the right word at the right time, and you see it touch their heart, and you see them come alive. That's who we're meant to be. Part of the power that we carry is the power of our words. And it's more than just taking the promises of God and declaring them. It's also being able to know how to take words of life and speaking life over one another, over our friendships, over our partners, over our children. You have that privilege. You are powerful because you have words that will last well beyond your lifetime. How many of us remember words that were spoken over us by somebody who is no longer alive? Many of us. Oh, wow, my time's going. Okay, let's kick into some real practical stuff this morning. Okay? I'm going to start with ways that we communicate. Three basic ways. The first one is discuss. That's when we talk with somebody and we share ideas, this openness. They talk, you talk, this listening, this sharing, this intimacy. This is the level that we're meant to live at. The next level is debate. It's where I have my opinion and you have yours, and I want you to listen to mine, and I'm not changing mine. That's debate. It lacks intimacy. It is talking to manipulate or control or get somebody else to change their opinion. When you slip into that level, you lose intimacy with people. Third level, disengage. Sometimes it's called no speaks. See, slow to speak does not mean no speak. And depending on our personality, we tend to have one area that we are strong in and one area that we're weak in. If we're a talker, it's a challenge to listen. If we're a person who finds it easy to listen, many times it's hard to talk. Sometimes it can be just purely because we don't feel we're listened to or valued, but for some people there are deeper issues than that. And I know that in my own life I had to deal with a lot of issues to get to the stage where I could talk. See, when Ray and I first got married, his pet name for me was Turt, short for turtle, because when something happened, I would withdraw inside, like a turtle pulls its head in and hard shell, can't get in. So that was his nickname. It's not his nickname anymore. God, because God has done a work, he's changed Ray and he's changed me. But he had to do a lot of deep work in my life because I was a non-talker. In fact, I lived under a code of silence that I put on myself as a small girl. Things happened to me when I was little that I determined I could tell no one. I put that silence on myself. When I went to school, I was promoted upper class. So I was a year younger than the other kids in my class. And I had a teacher, she'd only been teaching a couple of years, she was very young. And I still remember this day, I can't remember her name, but I still see her face. Because it was playtime and I started to tell a story very animated about what had happened at home. Can't remember the story. But I still to this day remember the words, go and suck your bottle. And as a little girl, those words shut me down. And I still remember the feeling of withdrawing inside myself. It's like it's not safe to share my story, my life. From that point on, I was closed. I had things happen in teenage years where I became a confidant for my mother going through marriage difficulties. She shared with me things that I could not share with others. So again, I could hear, but I could not speak. I went to university. I got saved. Wow, awesome. I came into church, and I was a woman. Women don't speak. That was fine. I got married. My heart was to be a good submissive wife. Submission to me meant I just agreed with whatever Ray wanted. I didn't have an opinion. Then we went to the States and we met the faith message. The faith message said, if it's not positive, don't say it. So by the time I got through all that, I had a lot of things boiling on the inside, but I did not know how to speak them out. And I lived under this code of silence that I had put myself under as a child, as a Christian woman, and as an attack, really, of the devil against the call that was on my life. Obviously, I've had to deal with that. Obviously, God has used what was a wounding in my life to set me free so that I can set others free. God loves to do that. And he'll do that in your life. Whatever it is that the devil has used against you, God will use so that you become one who sets others free. So my sharing of my story is basically me wanting to encourage those who are also non-talkers. Because I know that there are others who you're very good at listening, but you don't know how to speak. You don't know how to give voice to what's happening on the inside. Because it's not going to come out as a nice little neat package. When you start to tap into something that's been buried deep, when it starts to come out, it's a mess. And God says, that's okay. Let's clean it out. Let's deal with the wound. We have to do that with our physical bodies. We have to clean out wounds so that they heal. We have to do that in our emotional world as well. God wants to clean out wounds so that we heal and we can become healers. But let me finish quickly with just some of these things here. Proverbs 16:23. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. God wants us to teach ourselves, how do we talk, how do we relate? And I'm going to touch very quickly on one thing that will help you communicate, especially when things are difficult and you don't know how to deal with something. And it's the message that you are sending. So let's start with the first one. Types of messages. The it message. Many of us use this. Let me give you an example. It would be really nice to wake up one morning to a nice clean kitchen. It's an it message. It's vague, it's just out there, it's just expressed, and it's like I'm against the world and the world's against me. It's a problem. And you hope, like anything, the other person picks up the message and doesn't just shrug their shoulders and walk out. Let's move on to the next one, the you message. Or we could use this one a bit. You didn't do the dishes like you said you would. That's a you message. You are the problem. No elbowing each other. The third one is the I message. And when we start to add this type of learning to our lips, we start to change and take the heat out of some of our communication. This is an example of the I message. I feel let down when you say you are going to do something, but then you don't do it. I feel when. It's not blaming the other person. It's taking ownership for what is happening in your own heart. And the simple layout is, I feel dot, 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 when, dot, dot, dot. And if you're really brave, you can add, and I need to feel. Very simple layout. But if you add that little bit of learning to your relationships with others, you'll diffuse arguments. You'll take the heat out of it. You can discuss issues. And it's not an attack on the other person. It's simply saying, this is who I am. This is what I feel. Can we work on this? Another great scripture from Proverbs. Soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Oh, if we can change and bring a soft answer. So if a takeaway for you is change the it in you messages into an I message. Be honest about where you're at so that you can start to build connection with another. Let's pray. Papa, oh, you want us to be healers. You want us healed and whole. And Lord, I know that there's people here that have been hurt by words. There's people here that have been locked up, Lord, on the inside because of their story and what was said and spoken over them. But Lord, you know how to unlock our hearts. You know how to set us free. Holy Spirit, thank you. You bring liberty. You bring freedom. You bring healing. You bring wholeness. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you also bring courage to people's hearts here, that they would take the mess that they have had to deal with from their childhood, from the wounds that they have had through life. Lord, that they have the courage to bring those areas to you. And Lord, where need be, to get the help of others. Lord, that we might be healed and that we might be healers. Lord, we want to be those who have grace on our lips so that we can bring life to others. Amen.